Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jordan Mailata Show at Chickies and Pete's, brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time. Eagles fans, celebrate responsibly. I'm Spike Eskin, along with Elliot Shore Parks and the guy whose name is on the show, Jordan Mailata. How you feeling, big guy?
First road trip of the year.
Oh, man.
You all right?
What a game.
Yeah.
What a game. It was a grinder.
Yeah.
I mean, real physical game. Ugly.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Ugly.
Yeah.
Felt ugly watching it. Can you feel that when you're in the game?
I feel ugly.
Yeah.
Still thinking about that game.
Well, when you're in a game that it's obviously a very different perspective, us watching it, you playing it.
Yeah.
But you can feel in a game if it's one of those games, one of those ugly games. It feels that way when you're in it.
Yeah. I can't explain it. You can just see it from the get-go. Like, the intensity that both sides of the ball were playing at.
Well, it was loud in there, too.
It was so loud.
Yeah.
Like, you were there.
Like, off the jump.
Like,
yeah.
From the get-go.
Well, and I'm behind the press box glass, so, like, it was loud to me.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. That stadium, it goes, like, right up. Like, it's not – you're really on top of you.
It doesn't go out.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Goes up.
Yeah.
And all the noise just – for it not being a dome – it's pretty impressive how loud it gets.
The Superior Stadium, but yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm not a stadium builder, so
yeah.
You know, just from the get go, the atmosphere was crazy, super loud. You know, we had to stand like this close to get
just to
the
hear
communication,
each other.
And we knew that's what the challenge was going to be. So, you know, I thought there were times where most of the time we handled that pretty well.
When a team comes out, when you're on the road, and a team comes out that is in a situation, you know, they were 0-1, it was their home opener, mm-hmm. with a crowd like that, can you feel from the other team, do you have to almost get past that first wave of emotion? Like, do teams come out with more at the beginning of that, and is that something you almost have to get past and you can quell?
Yeah, 100%. I didn't really think about it like that, but... You know, it was their home opener.
Yep.
You know, it was the revenge game for them. So there was definitely a lot more emotion to it for them. For me, it was when we were running out and they were playing the clown music like that.
Oh, did they do that? I didn't even notice that. Wow.
They were playing clown music when we were running out. I was like, touche.
Well, good
like,
for
it,
them.
It started early, and I was like, okay, this is the kind of game it's going to
be. Backfired a little bit.
Yeah. But... You know, I thought that was funny, and I knew it was just going to be, even from the just running out the tunnel, that was just going to be a close game. So.
When when you're going into an environment like that, where you expect it to be loud, you've been there in 2023, like, from a game plan perspective, does it impact the game plan where you know it's going to be loud? It might be harder to do pre-snap stuff. Like, yeah. Does it simplify the offense, or is that not taken into consideration when you're game plan?
No, it definitely does simplify the offense, because you got to manage the communication so you're not over-communicating. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have the luxury of just saying, like, especially if you're basing your calls off the movement of a linebacker. And I learned the hard way. Like, I made Landon and I made Grant look really bad on inside zone runs. Yep.
Okay.
You can look it up.
I tried, but
I want you to look it up. You see strong side, inside zone. I don't block nobody because I'm caught in between a shit and fart. Can I say that?
Nope.
Oh,
get
sorry.
That deep voice, Luke.
Sorry.
You were caught between two things. Yeah.
Caught between a rock in a hard place. Sorry, there it is.
There you go.
And it was just because basically I was making the call on the run with just wherever the linebacker was, and now I'm just like, oh, my God, I don't know who to help.
Mm-hmm.
95 is over here, but now I don't want to put our tight end because I've told him to do something else. You know, so it's just those are the things that you can't practice until you get to the game. And so, like, it's just one of those things that during the week – we have to simplify most of our game plan just to be able to get on the ball and roll with it.
How helpful is it? I know they'll have you guys play in a loud atmosphere in practice to try to mimic that. Does that help at all, or is it just?
I think process-wise, it does. Just for a procedure standpoint of how, you know, because it still gets pretty loud, but you can't simulate Arrowhead. You just can't.
Right.
You know, I don't. How many fans are they?
I mean, 70. Yeah, I'd imagine
70,000.
Like
third down. Everyone in there is doing this.
Yep.
You're just like, what the hell? You can't even hear your thoughts. You just can't. So you can try your best to simulate it, you know, at work and during practice, but nothing is like the real thing. So,
how long into a game does it take to get used to that?
Usually after a couple drives.
Okay.
Yeah, usually after a couple drives, you kind of just you figure out what you need to do better from the first drive, and then on the second drive you usually implement it right away. So I'd say a couple drives.
So you play the Chiefs a lot for a team that's not in your division or conference over the last few years. And you had mentioned revenge game from them, from the Super Bowl. From an offense perspective, going against Spags' defense, what was different, if anything, about how they approached you guys in the Super Bowl versus how they approached the game yesterday?
Oh, my God. I mean, the bloke blitzed us. I felt like every play.
It was over 50% of the dropbacks.
Oh, my God,
dude. It was like 14 to 27 or something like that.
It felt like, even on the runs.
Well, not to answer for you, but he brought like seven people. It wasn't just one extra
that's
guy.
What I'm saying. Like, we had six guys to block seven almost every pass, and you're just like, yeah, we did plan for that, but it's like, oh, man, this guy's doing it every play. Well, he's showing it now. Mm-hmm. Now he's dropping out.
Yeah.
And then the other plays where he's not, you know, blitzing, he's showing it and then dropping out. And you're just like, okay, when is it coming, when is it not? And he blitzed a lot more than he did in the Super Bowl. That's for damn sure.
Do you think is there a specific reason for that? Do you think he sniffs something out?
Of course. I think as a defensive coordinator, you want to limit, you know, the offense. And so if you keep the offensive – or if you keep the offense guessing on where the pressure's coming every play. I mean, first play of the game, corner cat. What? What?
Well, and AJ was open on the first play, too.
I know. Yeah. This guy, you know, it's always something. It's always something. And so, like, man, I guess you blitz that much just to see how much you can limit the offense. And, you know, I think we kind of got to our safety plays there. Yeah, in the run game. So,
what's it say about you guys that you can have a game where it's super loud? I mean, you mentioned you're next to Calcaterra. I would imagine you don't take a ton of snaps next to him. It's probably mostly Goddard. So communication-wise, that's probably difficult. You're seeing all these blitzes. You're getting 6-7 defenders at you. And really, I mean, you probably didn't execute to the level you wanted, but there was no game-breaking mistake where you took care of the ball, you got down the field. You know, when you got over the 50, Jake Elliott made field goals. What's it say about you guys at this early in the season? You can still, Nick said today, kind of, you know, still move the ball down the field.
Yeah, I think it shows the grittiness that we play with. I think it shows how conditioned we are. But at the same time, there is so much more meat on the bone left, you know, and they talked about it last week, you know, one block away from the run.
Yeah.
I think this time we just got to do better at handling the unknown. I think we could have done that a lot better. I thought we did do
well.
The
how
unknown.
Do you handle the unknown?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You prepare with walkthroughs, and I thought that we did a great job last week. And even during the game, like, how were we supposed to know the bloke was going to blitz the highest percentage of his career in the game? You know, and I thought we did a great job up front blocking six when they're bringing seven every time, and that seventh guy, Jalen, knew he was hot. So it was like, you know, I thought we. That's blocking 7 for 7 in my books. Mm-hmm. At least we put the QB on the guy he knows where he's throwing off of. And I thought Jalen did a great job there. Calling protections all day. And
well, the Devontae play was on the big Devontae play. He did send 7 there. So the biggest play of the game, you guys did handle it really well.
Yeah, it was hot. It was a crazy game last night, man. Just trying to figure out. We're playing math, and I thought Cam and Jalen and Landon did a great job up front, Steen as well. Landon and I just, what's the call? Leave us on our islands. Okay,
there you go.
Well, you did mention the one block away. You actually said that to us on. I filed that away because you said it on Tuesday in the afternoon show too. Do you think you got some of those last night or yesterday?
I thought so. I thought we got some away. Like I said, still left a lot of meat on the bones. Very unusual kind of defense to run a lot of run plays into.
Yep.
You know, when they're blitzing every play.
Right.
Every run play. I think we could have handled that a lot better too. But I think kind of similar to last week, still left a lot of meat on the bone. Still one block away from big plays.
How quickly do you... We had... So... You know, WIP is Mike Schmidt was a great Phillies player and said once that Philly is the joy of victory, and I forget what it is.
It was the joy of winning on Sunday and the agony of hearing about it on
the next day. Yeah. So all day on WIP, we have this. You have a big win, and some people ask, I'm sure the players just enjoy it. Why can't you just enjoy it? So at what point after the game, after you've won, do you switch from we won it to, okay, what could we have done better?
My mentality, at least I'm just speaking on for me, is switched. Like last night, it was the immediate, what could we have done better? Like I couldn't just enjoy the win.
Really?
I couldn't.
It's interesting you say that because I remember when AJ said the thing about the Super Bowl after the game and said that it didn't feel like he thought it would. He's already thinking about the next one.
Yeah.
And I think probably to a certain extent, the only way you can be successful is by not sitting in the happiness
Correct.
Of what
100%.
You've done. Right?
I think for me it was just, I don't want 2023 to repeat again, right?
So. Right.
There is an era of moving. Well, there is something to it to moving on, right? But at least being in the moment, I was like, how can I address? What can I address right now off the onset of what just happened out there? How can I reflect upon right now to see how we can, you know, improve? And so it wasn't until watching the game today that I was like, yeah, we won the game. Now we're done. Got our corrections.
Did you feel better? Did you feel better after watching?
100%.
What made you feel better?
I mean, listen, all you critics can say whatever you want, but I thought...
I mostly tweet what I... Yeah.
I thought we did what we handled the unknown. And that was a big part of, you know, the game plan last week, was we didn't know how he was going to change it, because, you know, the Super Bowl was the last time we played in.
Yeah.
I thought we were pretty dominant in the Super Bowl, and so now, you know, we figured he was going to scheme up, play us a little different, and he did.
The mood in the locker room after the game, because we get in there, you know, 25 minutes afterwards, and sometimes I wonder if you're in, not you personally, but the team is happy you won, Nick, you know, a positive message, and then we get in there like, why isn't the passing game good enough? How do you, you know, so what was the mood like before maybe we came in and started asking you guys about things?
It was great. We were praising our defense. And special teams, yeah. Praising the offense and the opportunities
Nick's message
that we had. Yep.
Yeah.
Making plays when we needed to make plays on offense. But defense and special teams kept us in the game, man. And hell, man, defense. Our defenses. Man.
They make big plays, too.
They make big plays, yeah. When we needed them to, they make it. But I thought, you know, consistency-wise, they were pretty consistent during the game. A couple third downs, you know, Patty kept getting away from them.
But, especially early.
But I thought they did a great job.
Makuba get chased down by an offensive lineman. People were making fun of him for that, but... As a pretty athletic offensive lineman yourself.
I think it's crazy that nobody makes a big deal when I chase down. That's freaking bullcrap. Yeah.
Well, Jalen doesn't throw many interceptions. That's you don't bull. Get a ton of chances.
Pull up the tape. Every time I've made a tackle, everyone wants to make a big deal about it. I'm like, oh.
It's the rugby player.
God weighs like 290 pounds anyway. Like, what do you expect? He's going to walk down to DB, not 290.
Yeah.
I'm not hating. It was a great tackle, though. You got to admit, it was a great tackle.
Kind of got low on him a little bit.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, hey, they're
going to throw a flag. Low. Yeah.
Isn't that a little low? Like,
he had one chance. At least I rap.
I got to wrap around. Yeah. Come on.
So you mentioned the run game, and you had talked about it being one block away. The pass game was certainly not... what's the word I'm looking for? It was 100 yards of passing yesterday.
No fireworks.
So if the run game is a block away here and there, where is the pass game, which has not been sort of at the level that at least we would expect it would be at this point?
So you're talking to an offensive lineman. I don't know anything about pass concepts.
I don't know anything.
Only where the pass protection should go. Okay? Oh, yeah. That's all I know. Yeah. We gotta. Obviously, I don't know much about it, but I'm sure we're gonna get on top of that.
Okay.
We talked last week, and I've observed it, but obviously you have a different perspective of it. How Jalen has maybe been a little more outgoing or vocal this year. In my opinion, yesterday was one of the games where I saw him show that emotion a lot in between snaps. He's pointing at Calcaterra. He's grabbing Tyler Steen from behind. It really felt like he was emotionally trying to get people going, or you know, correcting mistakes early. What was your perspective of how Jalen was maybe during some of the frustrating times yesterday?
Man, if that's how he wants to, you know, show emotion by doing that stuff,
yeah,
like, go ahead. That's all good in my books. At least you're communicating, because communication is the only way we can solve things. You know, if we're not on the same page, that's an issue. Mm-hmm. And I think when I talked to Jay after the game, that's all it was, trying to make sure that it is hard to communicate. Like I just told you, like we have to be.
Yeah.
Cheek to cheek to talk to each other, you know, and it's like if that's one solution of, you know, trying to communicate to somebody to tell you, hey, this we need to do this better, then hey, I love that. Mm-hmm. It's accountability.
Well, and Tom Brady, certainly there's no shortage of clips on the sideline of Tom Brady yelling at somebody or a player. You know, Ike has told me a bunch of times about how important that from a quarterback is. You know, for everybody to sort of take control of everything.
Yeah.
So I think it shows almost a desire to be in control of the game by doing those sorts of things.
I don't think it's a desire to be in control. I think it's just a part of him to just want to lead or to teach or to again be on the same page. I don't think it's a desire for him. It's just that's all he knows. It's like, hey man, like this is going to be an issue. I don't want it to be an issue.
Right.
You know, so it's like, let me address it right now. Now no one's used to seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, like I said, he's done some major growth.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I was watching a clip earlier today, and it was Tom Brady talking about how when he prepares for a game, you know, they'll have a play set, and he knows if it's this defense, it's not going to work. And sometimes the coach will just go, well, just run it. What are the chances they're going to call that? But Tom Brady would say, no, even if it's 5%, I want to know what an adjustment can be to this play. When you're preparing with Jalen throughout the week, like, what is the level of detail you guys go into where, hey, if it's this look, like, we need to figure out now what to do, because on Sunday it's going to be loud at Arrowhead and we have to have an adjustment ready?
Yeah, I think that we need to be better there. I think we could be a lot more detailed there in our game plan. I think it could be a joint, more inclusive with... Not necessarily just us and Jalen. I think us as an offense, so we can understand and not just put the onus on Jay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you say offense, you mean like the players or the players everyone. And the coaches? Okay, sure. Everyone.
Coach, everyone. Okay. Everyone in the offense. If you're in the offensive unit meeting, the onus is, if you're in that meeting, then that onus falls on you as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you should know what our checks are to certain looks that we get on the defense. Now, they, what we prepare for during the week is sort of...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got what we wanted, and the plays that we kept running, like the outside zone, they couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop the outside zone, so we're just going to keep running it until they figured out a way to stop it. And we sprinkled in some plays to kind of put the lipstick on the pig, you know, try and dress it up a little bit, but in that one outside zone play, they just could not stop the tracks looking. Then again, plays they did stop, one block away.
Yeah.
One block away.
And it's bizarre. Like, you can pull up, you'd be like, wow. That player makes that block, it is a touchdown.
Yeah.
So we'll take a quick break and then come back. And one of your favorite topics, I'm sure, is we're going to talk to you about the Tush Push. It was a big Tush Push game. And the Rams game coming up as well. This is the Jordan Mailata Show. We are at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. It is brought to you by Miller Lite. You can enjoy the Miller Lite whistle-to-whistle game day special here at Chickie's. Celebrate responsibly.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jordan Mailata Show, live from Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. It is brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller Time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly. I'm Spike Eskin, along with Elliot Shore Parks and Jordan Mailata. Jordan?
I'm
going to let that happen.
Let it happen.
There we go. I've learned there's no fighting that. When it starts happening, you just got to let it happen.
Especially Ava.
Yes. Yeah. So your favorite topic, the Tush Push. I know you came in today, and Jordan actually let both Elliot and I know. He said, could we talk for 60 minutes about the Tush Push?
I really could. I mean, honestly.
So
it's a great play.
It is a great play.
I've never seen a play cause so much controversy.
Well, that's how you know.
Around the league. And I feel like they always find a new excuse to want to ban it. And now it's just the false start that you can't see to the naked eye. Full speed. You have to slow it down to see it, which is not the reason why it's so successful in the first place.
Right.
But holy cow, I feel like every time it's always something. It's always something.
You must be proud of that.
I am.
That they want to stop
it.
Yeah.
I am. It's interesting.
I thought one of the... I really enjoyed how hard Coach Sirianni, Jeffrey Lurie, and Howie Roseman fought for it in the offseason because... The idea of taking a stand that you guys had come up with a play that drives everyone crazy so much that they want to ban it is almost, you can't let them have that. You know what I mean? So they fought for it, and I compared it to the Phillies just got a new closer, this guy, Joan Duran. He's really good. So when the Phillies are playing a team and they get to the ninth inning, you just know it's over. And that's how I feel about the Tush Push. For the other team, you guys get to third and one or fourth and one, they're cooked. You know what
they're
I mean?
They're cooked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty rewarding to see the conversion rate that we get to do it at. I can understand the frustration because there's just no way of stopping it.
Yeah.
And I can see why people hate it. But at the same time, your team could do it as well. Like, let's just be really honest. Your team can do it as well. They just can't.
Yeah, I mean, I thought a really telling part of the game yesterday was, I think it was 4th-and-1 for the Chiefs, right, on their own 30. Andy went for it, aggressive move. But because they don't have the tush push, they need to line three people up in the backfield and get creative on how to do it. For as much as people hate it, there also has to be, I mean, a bit of almost a comforting feeling of, if it's 3rd-and-2 or 3rd-and-1 and you don't fully get it, you know, okay, in our back pocket, we have this play to go to. We've talked about this, but since it's a hot topic again, to those that don't understand, what is it, like, why, what do you guys do, without giving away the secret sauce, but how much work do you put into making it a successful play? Like, it's a personnel thing, but you guys put a lot of work into it as well.
Wednesday and Thursday, we do a, it's part of our walkthrough, just to work on the technique. Mm-hmm. Aspect of it, and for the center QB exchange for a tush push, so they can get that, also wet ball drill as well. So we do it, you know, what, twice a week?
Wow!
Just to work on the fundamental. You can't really simulate it during practice, but it's just like working on technique.
So you don't think you guys are jumping off sides every snap? Because that's the new accusation. You are? Okay. Well, maybe, yeah. We'll cut that audio from the pod.
You can't. I mean, it's you just can't, like, it's like, you want the refs to call it, but you can't see it to the naked eye. They can't see it. You just can't. It's just, we time it up really well. You time it up really well. I mean, you want to talk about false starts? Let's talk about Juwan Taylor. Nah, sorry. I'm just
Well,
I'm joking, bro. Chill out.
I would imagine...
That was a joke, everyone.
Yeah. I would imagine whoever is playing you next is going to make sure somebody in the league office sees the film of the false start.
Yeah.
So at some point this week, I would imagine you guys will, whatever is addressable in that part of it, will take a look at making sure that you're as clean as you can be.
Yeah.
Because I would guess the refs are looking for it next week.
100%. I think we got to clean it up and try not to jump off sides or false start. Again, I think it's pretty rich for them to say that we're false starting, especially right after the game when you're lining up in the neutral zone. And I thought mimicking the cadence is a penalty.
So it's so funny you bring that up. I saw a video today where it sounds like
they're
yelling.
And they're yelling our cadence out.
The Chiefs were doing it
on
more than just the tush push.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Is that something they did in the Super Bowl?
Hell yeah.
Is that unique to them or is it something?
It's every team.
Wow.
Every team. Green Bay does it. Oh, Green Bay does it a bunch. Mm. Commanders did it. Man, a lot of teams do it.
And, you know, for someone that doesn't play offensive line, like, how much does that throw you off or make it harder?
It throws you off. And so during our walkthroughs, that's what we practice. And our little scout team, they're little a-holes. Because, you know, you're trying to hear Jalen's voice, and everyone's screaming on the other side of the board. They don't want you. They're saying our cadence, and we're trying to distinguish which one's Jalen's voice.
Wow.
And it's like, we've had to drill that because of this. And we brought it up pregame to referees. This is what they do, but they don't have that referee standing behind the defense now, so they can't really call that penalty. But I just think it's rich. You don't see us. I mean, this is the first time I'm bringing it up.
Right.
You don't see us saying, they're calling out our cadence. They're lining up offsides.
Is this something?
You can line up offsides. I'm still getting that first down on that play.
Is this something new they're doing? Like, you've been in the NFL for five or six years now.
It's new that they started to do it. They're trying to find ways to stop the play, which I can commend and respect. But at the same time, let's not cry wolf.
Yeah.
You know, let's not do that. Let's not do all that, like, because it's just, to me, it's rich. Is that fair? Is that a fair point?
That's fair.
Like, if you're going to cry wolf,
yeah,
at least, and say that we false start, you're lining up off sides.
Right.
You're in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
And then you're calling out our cadences. Like, what's going on? You know, so
So
anyway, that's my rant. We can continue. I mean, sorry.
No.
The league will talk about the tush push for the next year.
Yeah,
so we can do it for another 20 minutes.
I get a little hangry when I don't eat. So.
Well, I actually think it was funny. Coach Sirianni said in his press conference today that the play was exciting, which I think we would have all disagreed with a year ago. But given the context around it and the conversation around it, I actually think it has become an exciting moment. Because the other team trying to stop this unstoppable play, it's a lot more exciting than a normal QB sneak is, actually.
What do you guys think of the play? Like, honestly, what is your, like, do you think it's lazy?
I love it.
You can be honest with me, guys. Yeah.
So, I'm being honest because you can check what I've said about it. I think it's the most famous play in NFL history. Yeah. I mean, seriously, can you think of another play that is so tied to one team? And I think the unfair part about it is you guys came up with it. So to take it away is silly to me.
Yeah, we've had the debates about it.
I appreciate that.
I love it, and I think it's a lot more than about 1 yard, because it is about that impending. Is it the other team is thinking about it existing? So I think it's almost.
Here it is.
Well, it's almost.
I'm gonna block it now.
Well, it's almost. it's almost defeatist on the other team to know that you have it coming, and it puts pressure on them on previous downs to stop you from getting in the position to run it. And I think when you have a play that the other team can't stop in any sport, I think that it forces the other team to think about it even when it's not happening. So I think it provides a much bigger advantage, at least mentally, than just the 1 yard, because the other team knows that it's there. So I think it might even change how they play leading up to that, because they don't want to have to deal with it.
Well, and what's crazy to me is, why can't other teams do it?
Personnel.
So I've always thought it's the way you guys personnel. The way you guys practice it. Like, no one knows how to do that aspect of it. Because, I mean, you guys have great personnel, but it doesn't seem that complicated. You're just pushing forward.
Right. I'm watching Buffalo do it, and I'm saying,
like, Josh Allen's a big dude.
Yeah, why are you so bad at this?
Yeah.
Well, they do it a little differently, where they make it look like normal stances. So, like, that's why nobody has an issue. There's no one pushing.
Well, you don't have to say
it's like
this.
I'm just saying how it is.
They're
basically just running QB inside zone, which is
right. It's also hypocritical.
You can't really see it.
Yeah,
you said it.
I mean, it is. I was at the league meetings. I asked Sean McDermott. I was like, "Will you run it? Since you have a big problem with it." Yeah. And he was like, "Well, we do it a little different.
Differently.
I don't know. There's no injury data on it."
Whiny babies. Yeah. That's me, not Jordan.
We'll see. I see a lot of chatter that they, after last night's game, that it's a possible ban, definitely.
I
think it should be like Double Jeopardy, where you're not allowed to go again.
Yes.
Like you tried, you missed. Yep, sorry.
You guys are free.
Yeah.
One more thing on the Chiefs game before we move on to the Rams. You were right there. So we all got to hear this moment between Chris Jones and Jalen Hurts. Or Chris Jones, if you haven't heard it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Jones tells Jalen, "You don't even have 100 yards." And Jalen basically tells him, "Pound sand, we won the game." Did you hear it when it happened?
No. I'm like getting ready to get in my stance, and I hear it. And I went to go say, you know, go pound sand, what you just said.
Yeah.
And then all I hear is Jalen say it. And I started laughing. that was the funniest thing of the game.
Yeah.
Hearing Jalen saying something to 95, and I'm sitting there like, yeah.
Yeah, it's my QB pound sand.
Yeah. Good pound sand.
Yeah.
I just just looking at the scoreboard, and I was looking at 95 and looking at Jalen, and I was like, yeah, this guy's got a point.
Well, he was the one that lined up sideways in the Super Bowl about it, right? Wasn't it Chris Jones that lined up?
I think so.
Yeah.
Did
he do it again?
I don't know if he did.
Did he just line up offsides?
Yeah.
Well, that was you guys, apparently.
Yeah.
No, we false started.
Yes, that's right.
That's Rich. Yeah. That's Rich. So we'll take one more break, and then we'll come back. We will actually talk about the Rams game. Again, Jordan insisted we talk about the Tush
Push. People
want
to talk about the Tush Push. Yeah, let us know.
They do.
Well, it is a rugby play, so you're good.
It is,
it.
Right. We will talk about the Rams game coming up next. This is the Jordan Mailata Show, live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, brought to you by Miller Lite. Enjoy the Miller Lite Whistle to Whistle Game Day special here at Chickies. Celebrate responsibly. This is the Jordan Mailata Show, live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly. I'm Spike. Elliot Short Parks here, along with Jordan Mailata. Jordan, before we get to the Rams, Elliot and I have prepared a little game for you.
Let's do it.
So we previously we've done a little get-to-know Jordan Mailata.
All right.
But for this, we're going to do a get-to-know Spike and Elliot for Jordan Mailata. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you a fact, and you have to guess whether it was Elliot, me, or completely made up.
All right.
You ready?
Yep.
First one. Once made Allen Iverson cry.
Elliot.
Wow.
Whoa.
Right to me, yeah.
I didn't know that.
It is true, yeah.
What happened?
So it was his retirement press conference. This was, I kid you not, 15 years ago. And he's like my favorite athlete ever. I was mad nervous for the press conference. But I'm like, I got to ask a question. Like, I got to do it. So I put my hand up. They gave me the mic. And I'm like, Allen, who was like your favorite teammate ever? That was the question. He cried for like 5 or 6 minutes up there. The whole time I'm sitting up there, I'm sitting in my seat, and I'm like, God, like, I mean, it was a good question, but
got him.
I'm young, and I'm thinking, like, oh, they're never going to let me ask another question again, but it was crazy.
Wow.
Have you ever cried from a question?
Are you a crier in general?
Yeah, I'm a softie.
Yeah, you
I'm
strike me lie. As a crier.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know if I've ever cried to a, yeah, so I have cried.
I'm going to try to get you this year with a question.
I've cried about back in 2022, talking about Stout.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Got choked up.
Yeah.
Choked up.
All right, give you another one.
Old Stouty.
Here's another fact. Is it Elliot, me, or nobody? Has seen the Backstreet Boys 11 times, and the Backstreet Boys was the song at the first dance at his wedding.
That's nobody.
That is me, buddy.
Ain't no way.
That is me, buddy.
He's a big Backstreet Boy guy.
Big Backstreet Boys fan.
11 times.
11 times, and it was one of the first bonding things for me and my wife when we first started dating, when she discovered that I love the Backstreet Boys.
That's actually, you know what, man?
That's a real one.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Were you team Backstreet Boy or team NSYNC?
I don't even know if probably Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, that's the right. That's the right answer.
It's age well.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's kind of
Bye 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 is a banger.
It is a banger.
It is a banger.
All right, how about another one? Is a two-time best actor in a citywide competition.
This is unreal.
You're trying to read my eyes. I'm not giving it to you.
This is unreal. Well, what kind of get to know you is this? Two-time actor.
Best actor.
In Philadelphia?
Yes, in a citywide competition.
In a citywide competition. It's got to be you.
It's not.
It's your boy right here.
What the?
They do tell me I look like Leonardo DiCaprio, so I guess it's not. It was a citywide fire prevention play. I played Pinocchio. And then in the other one, I played Smee from Peter Pan.
What?
I know. I'd even have a line in the second one, and I won Best Actor 2 years
in a row. I mean, hey, get to know your co-host. Yeah. This is amazing.
Shocking,
right? Hey, thanks for sharing.
No problem.
Thanks for sharing. I really appreciate that.
I have one more.
Oh God.
After college, before getting into his current profession, he considered a career in politics and briefly ran for Pennsylvania State Senate.
That's no one.
I was about to say, I don't even know that one about Spike.
Though John Ritchie did briefly run for state senate in Pennsylvania before he started with us here. So on to football. The Rams, you play the Rams on Sunday, was a legendary game at the Link last year, snow game. You guys won by the skin of your teeth. They seem to be, we talked about revenge with the Chiefs. The Rams seem to really have this one circled. They've mentioned it. Sean McVay has mentioned it.
Jeez, good for them.
Doesn't matter.
I couldn't give.
Yeah.
You're going to make me swear.
I couldn't give a damn.
I couldn't give a damn.
Okay.
Man, let them circle it. Golly. Why are they circling? Wow. Hey, good for them.
I remember. Sorry,
go ahead. No, that was into my my little. You guys continue.
I remember last year when you guys played in L.A., the show we did the next day, you talked about how physical the matchup was with Jared Verse. What do you remember about that matchup, I guess, both times in the playoffs?
Yeah.
And it does seem like when you talk about him with a level of respect that I think stands out to me. Just what about him makes him so good, and are you looking forward to the matchup?
Looking forward to the matchup for sure. I think he is a rookie that never backed down to me. Mm-hmm. Very evident from the first game and very evident from the second game, too. I think it's a great matchup. He plays very physical. He's a smart rusher, smart player as well. But he just has that edge to him, that motor, and that's what I respect. You know, when most defensive ends would come out, he'd stay out there on the field because he's got that motor. Doesn't want to come out. But
now, he does seem to have a great attitude. I mean, last year he was talking trash to the Philly fans a little bit. He said something, then walked out and walked around the link. So I think he's one of those guys you love if he's on your team, but I can see why Eagles fans are probably not the biggest fan.
Man.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll just listen. Next question.
Almost had it.
Next Marshawn Lynch.
Next question.
Here. Yeah.
We were talking about the snow game, and Elliot did make a comment about a dome. Elliot is a big dome guy.
Always have been.
Would you rather play in a dome or not play in a dome?
If it's grass, yeah.
You'd rather play in a dome?
Yeah, but I like the elements, to be honest.
Yeah?
I like the elements.
But if you could pick, not I just, to me, from being in some of the domes around the league, the Cowboys dome, have you played in the Atlanta dome?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, 2021, right. I mean, Minnesota, you'll see in a few weeks. Like, they're just so much louder than outside. I just can't imagine 70,000 Eagles fans jammed inside of a dome in South Philly. I think the noise would be insane.
That is great logic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have you ever played in New Orleans?
I was at the... No, I've never been
to New Orleans. New Orleans is insane.
Really? Loud-wise.
It is so loud.
I was going to say, I was there, but I didn't go to the Super Bowl, so I've not been to a game in New Orleans.
Could you imagine if Arrowhead was domed?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you remove the element parts of it, and look, it is silly Buffalo's not building a dome. Let's just be honest here. It snows all the time.
Well, but for them...
Wait, they're not building a dome?
No, their new stadium has a hole in the top of it.
But I think they...
That's what I said.
But they look at the weather as an advantage to them because they have to play it. Because it's not... There's a large difference between Buffalo and Philadelphia in terms of cold and snow.
Yeah.
So I think they look at it as an advantage.
I guess. If I was spending $8 billion on something, I wouldn't want a hole in the top of it.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about making that decision.
You're right. That is true. Yes. Yeah. But no, the grass thing is interesting, too, because, you know, we talk about MetLife and the turf. Like, maybe a simplistic question, but what is it about grass versus the...
I think the give. The give that it has. Like, artificial turf just does not have the same give when you plant your foot on the ground.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I don't, but I trust you on it.
Well, that makes sense. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, no, it does, people, yeah.
You know, the give, like, just when you scrape your foot, when you like, well, let's just say I'm getting bull rush and my cleats are in the ground, they're able to slide. There's that give.
Yeah.
On turf, it gets caught.
Okay.
And that's where, you know, on turf, and sometimes, depending on the type of turf, Dallas's turf, probably, it's all right, but out of all the stadiums, it's probably the best out of all of them, even though it's like all right.
Yeah.
MetLife's dog. Like,
yeah, everyone says
it's so terrible. Bad.
But that's what I mean by give. Like, the cleats can glide through much easier, and you can, you know, kind of brace a lot better as you're going through the play, but that's the issue with turf. Like, you just get caught up all the time.
Well, MetLife's bringing in real grass for the World Cup, but I think then they're removing it for that.
Well, it's so absurd to have an open-air stadium and not have grass in it.
Yeah.
You know, you're lucky you never had to play in Veterans Stadium. I can tell you about that. That turf was on cement, so it was very hard, and the seams in it were – Like, I'm making, that's how big they were. Like, the seams were, I remember being on that field for the first time, and I could not believe that they had athletes playing on that field.
I wouldn't even compare it to turf. Like, it was almost
like a
rubber.
Carpet.
Yeah. Like the stuff you see in gyms on the floor.
Yes, it's not the same as the turf is now. You know? Yeah. So,
that's insane.
So, heavy stretch for you guys. You have a tough schedule. I know you just think week to week. Do you ever look out at the rest of the schedule and say to yourself,
I just found out we're playing the Bucks.
Yeah, two weeks.
In the commercial break.
Oh, you didn't know?
I don't know who we're playing. I really don't.
We play the Bucks week four every year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the week. I'm not on the team.
Wow,
you
look
are,
at that.
Yeah.
This is a week.
It's a takeaway is our credential right
there. There we go. All right. Well, good luck on Sunday. Congrats on the big win.
Oh, this is it.
Yeah, this is it. Oh, man, we have players' lunch coming in.
Cam's coming in.
Cam Jurgens is here?
Oh, he is.
Is he here right now?
I don't see him. Yeah.
He's there?
Are people eating jerky?
I'm sure he brought the jerky.
Yeah, the jerky's
definitely. Oh, no, he definitely did bring the jerky.
Yeah.
He definitely did.
So we will be back. Coming up next is the players' lounge. Ike Reese, Elliot Sticks around here, and Cam Jurgens. We will be back next week with Jordan Mailata. Same place, same time. Congrats on the win. Go get another one Sunday for us.
Just going to do my damn job.
There you go. Do your job.
Whatever happens, happens.
All right. This is the Jordan Mailata Show brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller Time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly. Thank you, Jordan.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.